Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Right around the nation, this is the Open House 2010 finale. Here we are live in Sydney at Notes Live in Newtown. Packed out crowd. It's got to be a couple hundred people here. Had dinner, they've had drinks and everything. Everybody having a nice time. And they're all kind of waiting. Forget about Oprah, even though she's going to come tonight. Forget about Oprah. I know Bono. I know you're all kind of thinking about Bono. I know. But what you really are here for these couple that are sitting on the couch here, over a million people watch them every weeknight, and fans wonder if their characters will ever get together. But there is more to Home and Away's Ruby and Romeo, a.k.a. Luke Mitchell and Rebecca Breeds, than goes on in Summer Bay, so please warmly welcome. And that's been a really big year for you. It's been a big weekend too, because you had a big fundraiser on Friday night, which we'll get to. You've got an early start tomorrow morning, and so we're just really appreciative that you've come here.
Oh, thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you here. Luke, we need to get to serious matters right from the beginning. Recently, you won your first Logie. How do you feel to be named, quote, most popular new male?
Ever.
It feels really, really good, actually. It was very unexpected to win. So, it's been a very good year, and to win an award like that after only being on television for a couple of months was really special.
Well, it's a great. Maybe we could encourage him with that, I think. And you actually came from a pretty serious tennis-playing family, didn't you? In fact, you were actually kind of going down the Leighton Hewitt-style
career. Maybe not quite as good as Leighton Hewitt, but... I grew up playing all sorts of sport, but mainly tennis on the Gold Coast, and came from a large family. Everyone played sport, mainly tennis. And I got to about 19, and I wanted to go professional, but then decided that there was probably a little bit more to life than just tennis, and decided to give it away and explore a little bit. And stumbled into an acting class one day, and the rest is history.
How did you stumble into an acting class?
I tripped and fell.
He does a bit of stand-up comedy on the side as well.
It was one of those things that is just a really long and winding chain of events that kind of happened. And
he's being humble. People were trying to get him to be a model, and he's he's not vain enough for that. So he found acting.
No one asked you.
I told you he's humble.
Truth.
No, not so much. I mean,
you understand why we got you both on together now. See, this is the great thing. It's kind of self-rectifying.
The real Romeo.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, there was a slight element of truth to that, but to be honest, it was my adventurous spirit and my desire to get myself out of my comfort zone. I think, I signed up for the acting classes and I was terrible, and it scared the crap out of me, and really. Yeah, did good things to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You got an early start tomorrow morning. Just give us an idea as to what goes on a typical day. You know, what do you do?
Well, it's difficult to describe a typical day because it changes from day to day and from week to week. You know, some weeks we'll be working, 5 days a week and 10 hours a day. But sometimes we might have to do a night shoot, which might start at 5 p.m. and go till 5 a.m. and then the next day be working during the day, so it just depends. Sometimes you might have to start at 6 a.m. in studio, go into wardrobe and makeup, do two or three scenes. Then you might have to travel to Palm Beach, do two or three scenes. And then you might have to travel back to studio and do two or three scenes. And by the end of the day, you add the travel in and you're quite exhausted.
I bet. Absolutely. I mean, is that what tomorrow's looking like? Is it going to be kind of a full...
I've actually got a pretty good week. I mean, it's our last week before we go on holidays. I've got three scenes. I get up to, I think I start work at about 8:40 on location, which is up at Palm Beach. So I'll have to leave home about 7:15 or something like that, go up for one scene, then I think I have a couple hours off, and then I've got to head back to the studio for the end of the day for two scenes.
Okay.
I have the opposite. I go to studio for two scenes in the morning and then drive to Palm Beach for my last scene, and then, yeah.
Right.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Last week, Monday, Tuesday, I was on set at 5 a.m. at Palm Beach, so got up at 4 to get there and was there till 7:30 at night, and every single scene on the beach, and we didn't, like, you know, there was lots of physical activity. We were doing all this rowing, and you're having so much fun, but you do get really, really tired. And we had the exact same thing Tuesday. I was up again at 4, I was there at 5, and left again at 7:30 at night. And so by Wednesday, we had too much of a tan and needed a good sleep in. Yeah. So,
but
yeah.
Look, we get to work at Palm Beach, which it's is actually bad, one of the most beautiful places in the world. When, you know, on a beautiful day, you just can't beat it, so you just can't complain.
Luke Mitchell and Rebecca Breeds from Home and Away are with us on the Open House tonight. Rebecca, you were into music as well as acting. In fact, tell me about the time you walked in as a child into the lounge room, I think it was, and you announced your dreams for the future.
I decided to proclaim to the world that I had decided I was going to act, sing and get married. They were my three ambitions as a nine-year-old. My other best friend goes, I'm going to be a primary school teacher, and the other one wanted to be a doctor who is now a dentist, and we've all done it, and we all decided by 9 years old what we're going to do. And
You're not married, though.
Not married still yet. Still working on that. Still on the list. Just got bigger fish to... Oh, actually, no, I won't put it in comparison. That'll happen, you know, there's no rush. That's what I decided to do, and I've been really, really blessed enough to at least dabble in both so far, and I have a long journey ahead of me, so I'm really excited.
Indeed. So the big break for you, I mean, you did the movie Newcastle,
yep.
But actually there was some stuff before that.
I had, like, you know, little gigs here and there, but I finished school and I thought, well, I better do the uni thing, you know, seeing as that's the typical thing that everyone does. So I went there for 6 months and, like, why do you go to uni to do music, theatre and film? I don't know, unless you want to do the intellectual side of it. And I did 6 months of it and felt like I was being told what was right or wrong, and I think that kind of stifles you creatively. And I know that in the industry you have to have something unique, you have your own flavour. And to be told that you're right or wrong in specific things, I didn't think was conducive to my creativity. So I got out of there, worked in a cafe and...
like a lot of actors.
Yep, exactly. I can definitely pour drinks, that's for sure, and serve up a good steak. So... Yeah, I did that and then got Newcastle, and the week I finished that, I went to Africa for 2 weeks and worked with Rototo, which was amazing. And I got offered to stay there for an extra week and go to South Africa and do all that stuff as well. And I went, no, I really feel I should come back to Australia. And the day I got back, my dad picked me up and said, you have an audition for Bluewater High. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I went to the audition the next day and ended up getting that gig, which was another 6 months of full-time work. And I had 4 days left of Bluewater High and got a call saying, you know, come audition for Home and Away. I was like, okay, cool. On my way to the audition, I get a call from Bluewater High saying, sorry, you can't go. And I was like, oh, no. Finally made it to an audition. They said, okay, we want you for a callback. And I had 3 days left of this other job of Bluewater High. And they're like, well, we need to see you. And I said, well, I can't. I'm on set every hour of every day for the next 3 days. Can you please see me on Friday? Like, no. No, we need to see you today. I'm like, okay, well, I can't dishonor my current job. So they're like, well, you need a miracle. And I went, I guess I do. And so just let go. And the next day I got the call, say, we want you anyway. So after one audition, I ended up getting Ruby, which is fascinating because I auditioned for Belle years ago and went to 6 callbacks. You know, and to get Ruby after one was definitely, you know, I went, well, this is destined. And the next week since doing Bluewater High, I was in wardrobe and makeup for Home and Away and have been there ever since. So it's been just bang, 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 job after job. And I know that's not easy. I have a lot of friends in the industry that go, like, long droughts of no work. So I've been extremely blessed.
Got to be thankful, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been such a ride. So, yeah, fantastic. I'm really, really lucky.
How do you feel playing Ruby? I mean, just if you really were Ruby, we probably need Hugh McKay, the psychologist, back here again because, what, the last couple of years, your sister turned out to be your mom.
Yeah.
You were arrested for a conspiracy to murder.
Yeah, yeah.
You were hospitalised and you've had a relationship with almost every boy on set apart from Romeo.
Yeah, I also contracted diabetes, well, realised that she had it along that line, and had to stop my mother from trying to torture and kill my birth father. Then my granddad got Alzheimer's as well. So that it has been quite interesting. Good thing. Oh, and developed a drinking problem, had a crush on
sister. That's right. That's right.
It's just a few minor things that have happened.
And she's a method actor.
Please. Don't tell them my secrets. Ruby has had quite a roller coaster ride of a life. And I just take it as a compliment. I feel, wow, the writers think that I'm up to pulling this stuff off. They wouldn't write it for me if they didn't think I could do it. And I've been very, very thankful for the challenge of playing Ruby, because she's definitely pushed. Sometimes she can be really mean as well. She can be really hard. And I, like, sometimes I find it really hard to justify that. And I've had to just, like, find a way to justify her actions. And really, when you bring it all back to love and back to that place of wanting love and wanting, you know, validation for your life, it all checks out. So I have a huge soft spot for Ruby. I completely understand where all her ridiculousness comes from. And I'm sure after some of those stories, you guys can understand as well. And yeah, she'll always be a part of me. And we have the same initials, Ruby Buckton and Rebecca Breed.
There you go.
From day one when I saw that, it was
You're
meant to be.
Never going
to
be able to run away from her. She's going to be chasing you for the rest of your life.
I know. Dragging the chain.
I want to spiral back actually to that issue of love and the character. In the meantime, speaking of love in a different way, I mean, you two have actually gotten together to create a charity after going and visiting an orphanage in Cambodia. Tell me about the experience.
Yeah, it was a pretty full-on experience, one which I probably wasn't ready for. I kind of had no idea what I was getting myself into when Beck said, I'm going to Cambodia to visit my friend for 2 weeks in our mid-year break. Do you want to come? I went, I don't have anything else to do, so why not? but yeah, it was... Cambodia is one of those places that it's very difficult to visit and just not, you know, not ask questions. You know, everywhere you look, you know, you're affected by the things you see and experience. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to stay in this one particular orphanage called Savannapoom, where Beck's best friend is teaching. And, yeah, we sort of just saw what they were doing for the country, you know, just on a small scale, but, you know, one kid at a time. But this orphanage has a very big vision. You know, they want to set up, once they complete this orphanage, then they want to move to an area of more need and set up another one, and then and so on and so forth, and eventually set up a university. And for a country that has very few educated people due to the genocide back in the 70s, it's a very noble thing.
Whole generations were wiped out under Pol Pot.
When we were there, to see an old person was like, oh my gosh, an old
That's
person.
Right.
Like, and they were, yeah, they were literally all, they were all massacred. And the thing is that really gets me, like, I just don't understand, like, the genocide, you know, in World War II, I mean, that was interracial. That was between separate countries and races. This was a civil genocide.
Yeah.
This was a purification of their own race for the betterment of their own race. But how deluded is that? You know, you kill your own people to better your own people. Like, that's so backwards. And there's something seriously wrong with that, and really, really beautiful, good people fell into the hands of a really misguided vision. And you see the effects of that everywhere. And that's the thing, all the teachers, doctors, nurses, you know, people that keep a country going. And they're all taken out. And so and who goes back in there to restart it? You know, they need help. And unfortunately, because that costs money, lots of people, the country is very vulnerable to exploitation rather than help a lot of the time, and that's why they've become vulnerable to a lot of human trafficking. And even, you know, like, there are countries coming in there and just moving borders and developing things and taking over parts of the city just because they have the money to develop it and to make it run, you know. So they're kind of being walked all over, and I just think it's not fair, you know. We're told to speak up for the people that can't speak for themselves, and this is a massive part of that. Like, they don't have the facilities because all those people with the facilities were taken out. So they need to rebuild that, and that's what Savannapoom's doing. They're equipping people with skills and trades and jobs to get incomes, to have families, to create education facilities, to break this cycle and to refacilitate the country to build itself again and to function again and to stand up for itself again and to thrive again.
Savannapoom Orphanage. So if people do a Google search on that, they'll be able to find out a bit more.
Yeah, if you Google search Savannapoom Care.
Savannapoom.
Care.
Savannapoom. P-O-O-M, Savannapoom Orphanage Care. Okay. Rebecca, you just quoted a Bible verse there about standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves and speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves. You are actually a person of faith. And that kind of really had the kind of genesis for that, or at least the solidifying of that, was in your teenage years, wasn't it?
Oh, and continuing. You know, I think you know, and you're constantly thrown into new environments, especially, you know, going from my wonderful, safe little bubble of Southern Shire Christian School and Urban Life Church and my lovely little family and my little best friends and youth group on a Friday night. And then all of a sudden you're in the entertainment industry and your eyes are opened to a whole array of things. Things that you just didn't even know existed. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Do not stay in your bubble because you will not relate to people in the world that we are called to love. You know, and I am so, so thankful that I have been thrust into the calling that I have and responsive to that, but at the same time have had incredible support and accountability from my best friends and family who can continue to challenge me and to support me and all that kind of stuff. But I think if you're not growing, you're dead. And I came up with my life motto, I'd rather die to myself than lie to myself. You know, so you must find truth. You must find truth in whatever form that is. And, you know, I've had to open my eyes a lot and open my tolerance and you know, yeah, just the way I look at things and the way I look at people, because if you remain closed, you will shut off your capacity to love as many people as you can, to understand as many people as you can, to have understanding, to have grace and to truly connect with people. And that's what I feel called to do, you know. And I always wanted to be an actor and a singer. And I think I used to pray and con God into it. I used to kind of like, not blackmail him, but kind of convince him that it was a really good idea. Because I'm like, God, if I'm in the entertainment industry, I can tell people about you. And I'm like, you know, think about what we can do together.
I tried that in once. It didn't work.
If I get a mansion, I can invite people over for lunch and play worship music in the background. I honestly had... And I still hold to this
mansion
dream
evangelism.
And you can all laugh, but it's going to happen. I will have my yacht and I will have the Beckhams over for lunch and we will have a wonderful conversation and we will, you know, share life and love and be a support to them. Honestly, that's, call me crazy, but, you know, why not? And I you know, would always like, you know, kneel down and pray to God and say, look, I want to, you know, we're going to do this together and it's not all about me, I swear. You know, and gradually God is holding me to that. Yeah. Hence the fundraiser on Friday night. I put myself in a corner and yeah, I'm having to respond, but it is in every breath worth it completely and utterly.
Yeah,
so
Wow, phew. I mean, I'm tired just listening to that. Really. big dreams ahead. Just wrapping up really briefly, as a person of faith and playing somebody like Ruby, who, you know, is a kind of a role model to teenagers and things like that, do you ever raise questions about, you know, little girls watching you and the kind of thing? I mean, Ruby's had all sorts of, you know, there's been love scenes and various relationships, of course. Do you ever struggle to do the character of Ruby, recognizing that so many girls are watching Ruby, looking for guidance on life?
Yes and no. For a while there in my teen years, I kind of abandoned the idea of acting and wanted to be a singer because I was like, well, at least I can say what I want to say. With acting, I have words put in my mouth and I can't be an example. And only since getting Newcastle and since seeing the industry the way it is, I just and realizing that God is bigger than the words that I have in my mouth. God is bigger than the character that I'm given, and if he wants to, you know, speak to someone through me, which I know he does, he will do that. It doesn't have to be, you know, my wise words put on an album, you know. And so I very much had to die to my rationale of how I'm going to be a light to the world and go, no, just be obedient and just be the best you can at what you've been given, you know. And so with Ruby, a lot of the time I do go, oh, heavens, I have to do that. And then I just go, yep, exactly, you have to do that. And you have to find a way to justify why she's done that. You have to find a way to bring the best truth to it because people go through that. You have to find the way to justify her journey because people go through that, and you need to be sympathetic to those people, and you're telling their stories, and their stories are just as important and just as impacting and need just as much validation as other people's stories. You know, Ruby's had a tough life, and there are lots of people out there with a tough life, and you can't judge them. You cannot sit back and judge your character, otherwise you will never... be acting from a truthful place, because you will not be justified. You know, people only do things because they believe, or they're trying to. Yeah, I think everyone's well intentioned, and Ruby's well intentioned. Just not all decisions are the best guided. But I just figure, you know, like, she's on a long journey, and there are ramifications for decisions, good and bad. You know, and I think as long as the story is being told, I just have to believe that people are smart enough to watch and make their own decisions based on that, and go on their own journeys. And I guess you just have to let go.
The thing that excites me is that you're just so thoughtful about it. So many people aren't, and I really appreciate that. Rebecca Breeds and Luca Mitchell from Home and Away. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.